It's time!
Happy number one medal! The eagle rises again! 29-0.
That's it! He's got the chance!
Nate Diaz!
He's out!
He has done it! It is all over! Nate Diaz beats Conor McGregor!
What a night, ladies and gentlemen! What a night!
Rose Lava, you're trying to close the show!
She was doing a great job of face.
That is it!
You're listening to Pound for Pound, ringside for all things MMA and boxing on WFUV Sports.
Welcome back to Pound for Pound. I'm your host for this week, Andrew Canary, alongside Zach Cordova and Mahdi Dembele, Joe Henry on the sticks. Guys, we got not a ton to talk about this week. Tai Tuivasa coming off a big loss. We got Rose Namajunas fighting this Saturday. But there is still some things to talk about. There's UFC 300 coming. Jose Aldo's coming out of retirement. So I think it will be a good episode, despite being a bit of a slow week. But before we get into all of that, how are you guys doing? Zach, I'll go to you first.
I'm doing good, man. I'm back home right now. Long trip, as we just talked about. But, you know, as always, I think as we say every episode, always down to talk a little bit of Cage. There's not really much going on this week, but March Madness is going on, so I can't complain if I get to sit at home all day on the couch and watch basketball and nobody can tell me anything. So really, really excited to do this episode.
Yeah, guys. Yeah, what's up, guys? I know it's March Madness, it's the month of basketball, but like free money, you take Cage whenever you can get it. So I'm always glad to talk Cage with you guys. I'm ready to get it rocking, get it rolling.
Yeah, no, definitely. It is kind of March Madness is in full effect right now. But, you know, despite that, we do still like talking some Cage. And there's still some good fights this weekend. So maybe you could kind of divvy up your time, do a little half and half, maybe 60% basketball, 40% UFC. Who knows? We'll find out. But anyway, though, I do want to recap the event that happened last weekend. And that was Tuivasa versus Tybura. And guys, I don't know if you ended up watching this fight yourself. The whole fight night was a little bit weird. The co-main event ended up ending in a no contest in the second round. And I believe that was due to an eye poke, if I'm remembering correctly.
Yeah, eye poke.
Yeah, and Brian Battle, big prospect in the UFC welterweight division, just having a no contest. I mean, it started off, I feel like, this whole main event on like a weird foot. And just, I feel like it really characterized the card overall. It felt like a very weird fight night to me, at least to me.
I
got similar feelings.
I definitely agree. And I think it's not only the fact that that fight gets ruled as a no contest. I think it's the fact that Brian Battle is pretty clearly winning that fight. And I mean, he said it after the fight saying that Lusa was looking for a way out. I think Bisping even went into the cage afterwards. I was talking with Battle and it got caught on camera and Bisping didn't want it to get caught on camera. But he was also just like agreeing with him, saying, hey, Lusa was looking for a way out of this. And that's kind of how I felt when that one ended. Like sometimes you get in the cage with a guy who's way better than you and you feel it from, I think that ended in the second round. And you kind of take the first way out, and getting poked in the eye is a pretty easy way to kind of just say, hey, I can't see, and not continue, and goes as a no contest on your record instead of a loss. So I think it's unfortunate for Brian Battle because this would have been a really big statement win for him and just helping him just continue to move up through the rankings and hopefully, I mean, trying to get a ranked fight somewhat soon, but I don't know how the no contest really goes in his favor, trying to move up in the ranks, I guess.
Yeah, just to continue on that point, it's like almost like Bobby Green, like, give me my money. I want my money. I want my money.
Yeah,
it's almost like a game action, right? It happens within the flow of the game. It's almost like football. Maybe when the defensive lineman sacks the quarterback, it's a little extra that just happens within. It's not like what happened with Cedric Doumbé over in the PFL, where there's some glass in his foot and the fight has to stop. In a fight that clearly he, I would say, was winning. But this is more so, it just sucks to see, man. And for something that happens pretty often in the fight game, because again, it is a game action, you will get hit in the crotch sometimes and you will get hit in the face. Maybe there will be illegal stuff, but that just happens because it's two guys who are in the ring who are really fighting to the death until a referee stops it. So, I mean, just to have that taken away from him. But Brian Battle's a great fighter. I think he'll bounce back after that. So, yeah.
Well, the scuffle, I mean, the scuffle afterwards, I don't know if you guys saw it, where Battle goes up to him in the octagon and like starts talking trash to him, and then all of a sudden Luce is ready to fight again. And that's kind of what he brought up in the post-fight interview is, hey, you were standing there hurt a second ago, and now you're looking at me like you're ready to fight, which doesn't make
Recruiting.
sense. So, I mean, I agree with that.
It was a very weird scenario. And I think that's kind of what added to like the weird kind of vibe I had for this whole fight. It was like, the fight ended and it seemed like both guys were, kind of jawing at each other. And then it seemed like they wanted to go at each other again. I was like, why stop the fight in the first place? But then, yeah,
Exactly.
it was just a whole weird co-main event and kind of unfortunate too, as you guys were alluding to, with, Brian Battle now having a no contest. Really exciting fighter in this welterweight division. I kind of was not too high on him heading off of the Ultimate Fighter, where he won that. I believe it was season 30 or season 31. But he's proved to be a really, really impressive fighter and a really, fantastic kind of highlight type finisher. So him at this no contest, it's definitely a little bit disappointing. But I do want to talk about this main event, and that is Tai Tuivasa's non-existent ground game against Marcin Tybura. Guys, I want to hear your takes on this fight. It was embarrassing to see Tai Tuivasa lose in the first round, and like I think, 4 minutes into the first round, it just looked like once it got to the ground, he had no idea what to do whatsoever. So off the back of that, I mean, do you think that this is kind of the beginning of the end for Tai Tuivasa, or do you think, what's your just general takes?
Begin. Oh, I'll let Madi take this one. Go for it,
Yeah,
Madi.
you know what? I think it's been the beginning of the end for a very, very long time now. His last win, I believe it was Derek Lewis. I think, was that last year or the year before? It may have been 2022. That's when
Was a
his
while
last,
ago.
yeah, a while ago. Then he fights Gon and loses. He fights Pavlovich and loses. I think Volkov was in the mix there. And now Tybura. And those two, the last two losses that he just had, both on the ground, submission losses. I remember the last fight because it was on my birthday, September 9th. Against Volkov, he lost. He was on his back getting pummeled, and then this one, it's much of the same thing. He starts off strong, particularly in the first round. You see him there in the clinch, throwing elbows and stuff. But then it's almost it reads like like a book that you've read a thousand times. It's the same thing with Tai Tuivasa as of right now. One of the like fan favorites in the heavyweight division some time ago. But yeah, it's all coming down. It's falling down for him.
I mean, it's not like he hasn't had moments in every one of these fights. I think
A streaky guy.
he's caught everybody he's fought in terms of with a big punch. Even we were that close to a Tai Tuivasa John Jones potential fight for the belt when he knocked down Ciryl Gane. And I mean, for a moment I thought that could have been over. I thought he was going to finish that. And he's had a moment like that in every single one of these fights, it seemed like, and it's just goes from one extreme to the next, where he's on top, and all of a sudden he's either getting caught on his own or getting subbed. And his past two, I think he's just been sliced through on the ground. He's shown no sort of improvement on the ground, and that's definitely a problem, especially when you're trying to be in the higher ranks of the heavyweight division. But in terms of the end for Tai Tuivasa, I definitely don't think it is. I've always considered Tai as just kind of a fun fighter that everybody loves. I mean, we see the walkout music, everything that you see that goes with Tai Tuivasa and his character and who he is. And I've always just thought of him as just one of the most fun fighters in the UFC. And you put him in there with somebody who will stand and bang with him, it's going to be fireworks every time. He's somebody you could put on the opening of a pay-per-view card, and people would be pretty excited to see that because it kicks off the action, because you're almost guaranteed a finish with Tai Tuivasa is in the octagon. So I don't think this is necessarily the end for him. I think it may be the end for him in terms of fighting in the top five or even in the top 10. But I by no means would want to stop watching Tai Tuivasa fight in the UFC. I mean, he's just so exciting and so fun, and such a likable character, and definitely not the end for him in the UFC.
Yeah, I guess I should have framed that question a little bit better. I think what I was trying to get to is, like, you know, competitive tie to Ivasa, which, I mean, it's arguable how competitive he has ever been. But I kind of agree with you. I think that it's kind of a turning point. I think he needs to either take this fight and, you know, look at it and say, hey, I really need to work on some things to be a competitive, you know, top-tier heavyweight fighter, or just kind of continue to do what he's doing and be more of like a Derek Lewis type, exciting type fighter. But I think that you brought up an interesting analysis, Zach. And that's that I feel like Tai Tuivasa manages to stay competitive in every single one of his fights. He manages to have one moment where he catches somebody, or he's able to do something kind of cool. But later on, very clearly loses that fight. And I think that kind of, it speaks to why he's so popular, I feel like, because he's able to have those moments in those big name fights, despite losing them later on. So, I mean, I guess off the back of that, I kind of wanted to ask you guys, I mean, do you think that he'll ever be able to tap into that potential and potentially put together, you know, a couple of big wins? Or do you think that that's always just going to kind of stay like that? It's just purely potential.
I mean, it's always possible, just because, I mean, you saw the 5-fight knockout streak that he went on, and he's always capable of doing that, and always capable of just putting people out. And that's just heavyweight. I mean, it's a different sport almost, where it just takes one shot, and it doesn't matter if the other guy's a better grappler or a better striker than you. It doesn't matter if the guy's completely better at mixed martial arts than you. If you land one big shot in heavyweight, it could be over, and that's just tied to Ivasa's game. He's ready to throw down, and if somebody's willing to stand in the pocket with him and throw down, he could catch them or he could get caught, and that's really heavyweight. That's what the game is.
I guess the thing that I want to ask, though, is that do you think that Tai Tuivasa needs to be a bit more smarter about that? Because I feel like we see like a fighter like a Tom Aspinall, who really kind of understands what it means to be a heavyweight, and kind of all the things that come with that. And I feel like Tai Tuivasa definitely has some similar aspects there, but it just seems like, yeah, I don't know, mentally things aren't all clicking there, if that makes any sense. Like, he doesn't, sometimes he kind of sells out to be a bit more of exciting of a fighter. So do you think he'll ever, like, truly, I guess, take, you know, being competitive serious? Because right now, I at least to me, it seems like he just kind of wants to make exciting fights.
It's tough to say, because that's very much just his fight style. And I don't know how changing up his fight style is going to impact the way that he performs, because it seems the way that he won those fights was kind of causing that chaos. And it's just how some dudes fight, and that's how they win. I mean, think of a Justin Gaethje, where his game is literally chaos, except in the recent times we've seen more of a controlled chaos. So alluding to that in terms of like a Tai Tuivasa, more controlled chaos, yes, I think it would definitely benefit him, but I also just don't think that's his game. And I think it ends up getting him caught in more scenarios than him landing big shots. And a lot of the times where he's winning is where he's landing the big shots. But Mahdi's more of kind of like that boxing guy and more of that controlled guy. So I want to hear what he has to think about that.
Yeah, Zach, I think you hit a nail on the head. If we're taking this from the boxing side per se, I'm not mad at a guy who gets knocked out if he's aggressive. Like this young kid named Abdullah Mason, right? If you watch his fights, he's a very aggressive fighter. He fights on the front foot. He's coming at you, offensive style. If he gets knocked out, I'm not mad at that, because he's always coming to get you. Tai Tuivasa is more of the same Justin Gaethje you mentioned, though he is a bit more fluid and a bit more calculated in these times. I will say I could imagine Tai Tuivasa being better than, say, maybe sixth or maybe seventh. I could see him closer to the top five, just because, well, for the main reason, heavyweight's thin. I mean, Sergey Pavlovich, Stipe Miocic, Curtis Blaydes, Alexander Volkov. I could see Tai Tuivasa in the mix with this. Definitely not in the mix with Aspinall. And of course, John Jones is like, who knows when he'll be fighting. And he's also John Jones. But I could definitely see him better than what he is 10 right now. Because, Zach, what you're really talking about is the game of inches. A guy who fights like that is taking the risk. He's risking it for the biscuit. That aggressive style can get you in trouble. You just have to beat the trouble to the punch. That's really 50-50. Can it help him win? Sure. But in more recent times, it's been the reason as to why he's not doing well so far. But definitely, it's certainly a 50-50.
But it's also the reason why he's almost won some of these fights. I mean,
Almost, but I mean, like almost. He's on like a what, 5 fight win streak? I mean,
four fight skid now, but he just got off a five fight win streak of all knockouts. And
this is true.
there was a moment in that Ciryl Gane fight where he knocked him down where I was really thinking, oh my God, we might get Tai Tuivasa versus John Jones for the belt. And that would have been unreal.
Insane.
And it's just that's how he wins. You live and die by it. And
You live and die by it.
so close to knocking out Ciryl Gane, the only person I think to actually knock down Ciryl Gane. And I mean, it's just the I'm gonna go forward and I'm gonna throw down with you. And if I land, I land. If you land, you land. And
I'm not
I
mad at
very
him.
much enjoy that fight style from Tai Tuivasa. I think it gets him in trouble, but it's like you said, it's a 50-50, and he's
50-50.
taking that chance 10 times out of 10. It's just who he is.
Yeah, I guess at the end of the day, it is truly just who Tai Tuivasa is. I mean, but everything from the walkout songs to the shoeys, I don't think that if you told him to fight any other way, he actually would, honestly.
Yeah,
But
he said in an interview before. He says he's a banger from Western Sydney, and they bang on with anybody. He's gonna bang on with anyone until the day he dies. So I very much respect that about Tai Tuivasa. And I don't think he's gonna change. I just think the takedown defense should improve if he wants to be competitive in this heavyweight division. But in terms of the rest of his game, I don't think it changes. I just think the wrestling and the takedown defense has just got to improve. And he does that, and he's going to be a tough guy to beat.
yeah, please, for the love of God, work on the takedown
Take
defense. Oh my
a trip to
God.
Dagestan, Ty. Do it, do
Yeah, so he's got to go somewhere. But anyway, though, I do want to talk about the UFC fight night that we have coming up tomorrow. Should be very, very fun. It is Amanda Ribas taking on Rose Namajunas in a flyweight main event. Guys, I don't know if you've thought too much about this event or this main fight. If you guys have some picks kind of teed up, I would 100% want to hear them. It is Amanda Ribas's first fight in 2024 alongside Rose Namajunas. I believe Amanda Ribas is coming off of a one fight win streak, and Rose is coming off a loss to, oh my God, her name is slipping me right now. I forget. What's her name?
Fiora, if I'm pronouncing it right.
Yeah, Manon Fiorro. Yeah,
Yeah.
that's why I was always slimming. She has one of the hardest names in that women's division, but killer fighter, and I really proved herself against Rose Namajunas. But point being, though, one woman, Amanda Ribas, coming off a win, Rose Namajunas coming off a loss. What do you guys see in this fight, and who do you think wins?
Gonna let Marty take this one first, too.
I mean, Amanda Nunes, Thug Rose is always an interesting one. I would say she's probably the holder of the most boring championship fight to ever happen. You know what? I'm a huge fan of Thug Rose. I really do like her. I think it Rose. I think oh my God, I really don't know how to feel about her.
Well, let me ask you this question, Amadi. Do you think that she's past the competitive point in her career? Because she's 31, which, looking at that, I mean, definitely like still in her prime physically. But if we've been looking at her career, I mean, she's been fighting since what, I want to say 2014 in the UFC, first fighting on the Ultimate Fighter, then bouncing around a couple divisions until she eventually became really good, kind of around that 2016, 2017, 18 era. Eventually, then losing the belt a little bit after that. So, she's bounced around a little bit since then. Do you think that she could ever get back to her title aspirations potentially with this fight?
Perhaps because I do think Amanda Ribas is really good. I love her striking. Her takedown accuracy is pretty good. She has 3 wins by knockout. She's also good on the ground as well. You know what? I'll do this. She's gotten better and better with each fight. Like, she's coming off like first it was like guys, it was like women like Paige VanZant that she was beating, right? Who never stuck around long in the UFC. But then she's beating people like Araujo, who's really, really good, and Barber. And I mean, I don't know, Thug Rose. I'll go with
it's a tough one to break down because this is a Rose just moved up to this weight class, and I feel like we didn't really get to see her full potential in this weight class in her last fight because she broke her hand, I think, pretty early in that first round.
Pretty early in the first round.
I think it was.
I don't think it was necessarily a bad performance from her. I think it was a bad draw in terms of a matchup. I think it's going to be hard for me to pronounce, but Manon Fiorot, she's a tough fighter, and she's been at the top of that weight class for so long for a reason. And I feel like she's always just kind of been like this rock that's been so hard to get rid of. And Rose Namajunas got a hard draw for her first time up in a weight class. So I don't feel like we fully got to see what Rose can do in this weight class. I don't want to say that she's past her prime or she's not the same fighter, because she's been in so many title fights at this point, and she's been fighting the top level of competition for a long time now. So I don't necessarily think that Rose is done. I don't think Rose has gotten any worse. I think her performance in the last time out wasn't necessarily that bad. I thought it was a lot closer than people really thought it was. So I don't see her necessarily getting blown out of the water in this new weight class. But I do agree with you. Amanda Ribas is a really good striker. I like her. I like her ground game. She's a tough person to beat, and she's somebody who always kind of brings the fire. And it's gotten her in trouble in a couple of fights. That's why she lost to Macy Barber, because Macy Barber is just on a tear right now, and she went into the fire with Macy Barber and got caught with some big shots. But
I mean, Zach, I mean, we both agree for the most part. But can I play devil's advocate for this? What I'll say is this. We both agree Rose Namajunas, her last showing was not as bad, and especially with the injury, it was a pretty decent fight. Even if you want to include that loss, she's one and one, really. Like, the third fight didn't convince me enough against Fiorot. Like, I'm still, that's an asterisk. One and one, she's moving up. People talk about how small she is. She's about 5'6", but she's very long, and she's very long arms, broad, like, I'm not convinced that. Yeah, I think she'll stick around the division. It's not out of my imagination that she could win this fight, to tell you the truth.
Yeah, I think the little extra weight, along with, like you just talked about, her reach and her being a longer fighter for this division, definitely benefits her. And she could pack a little bit more power into some of those. I think her kicks are really smooth. We saw that. That's how she knocked out Wei Li in the title bout, was with that kick, with the head kicks. So I think definitely having the little extra weight behind some of those shots that she's able to get off, especially with her longer arms and longer reach, where she's able to kind of pick away at people, definitely benefits her, having that little bit more of a punch, I guess, to say, definitely benefits her. But Amanda Ribas isn't going to go away this weekend, and she's not someone who shies away from that. So I think this is a really interesting matchup in that way. I think both women are both really good on the ground, and I honestly don't know if this one even hits the ground. I think this is almost going to be a pure kickboxing fight, the way I look at it.
Yeah, I could definitely see this being a kickboxing fight as well. I could also see a lot of it playing out on the ground. Honestly, I think wherever the fight happens to take place, I think the fighters will continue that. So if it happens to enter a clinch and take down really quick, I don't think either fighter is really going to be opposed to that. Yeah. And as well for standing. But if I'm twisting your guy's arm, I want to pick. Do you got Rose in this? Do you got Amanda? Who do you got?
It's tough, man. It's tough because Amanda Ribas is, I do think very highly of her, but she's also been on a pattern over, I want to say, the past like 3 years, where she's won one, she's lost one, she's won one, she's lost one, she's won one, she's lost one. And she's coming off of a win. So just going off the pattern, I almost feel like she's kind of due for a loss. She needs to be on some sort of streak.
Well, how do I feel about Rose coming off of an injury in a new division?
That's another thing to think about too, yeah. But yeah. She did take a good amount of time, I think, to heal up from that. And I do think we are going to see a more improved and, I think, more hungry Rose Namajunas. So I don't.
Okay.
I think she's very, very hungry to get that belt in a second division. So I would like to see her come back. And I think Thug Rose is able to kind of get. I think she's able to get this one done this weekend. I think she kind of reminds everybody who she is this weekend.
Yeah, I agree with you. I think that she's going to get it done, and I don't know if it's going to be in necessarily big fashion, but I think it's going to be a return to form, which has been something I know fans have been asking for a long time.
Yeah, definitely. And that 5 round experience, because I mean, I imagine it's a 5 round fight because it's a main event. I think the 5 round experience of Rose Namajunas, especially if this one drags out to going the distance, definitely benefits her in this way. And she's, I mean, like, and just to repeat myself, she's used to that. She's used to that environment and that pace. And I think she's able to, especially in decision, if this one doesn't get finished, she knows how to do it. And I'm confident in her going 5 rounds, and I'm confident in her, I guess, outpacing an Amanda Ribas in this fight.
I'm comfortable with
Yeah.
the Rose decision. I mean, she has five first round finishes. I mean, her pace is crazy insane. And yeah, again, both sides are valid, but I'm not against Rose having a second act in a new division. I think she could be one of the premier fighters. Yeah, I think I'll roll with Rose. I'm not I'll roll with Rose.
It's an interesting one. I genuinely think this is kind of like a 50-50. I think this is a close one, so I think it's hard for us to really give picks on it.
Yeah.
But if I'm gonna pick anyone, I'm gonna go with Thug Rose. It's hard for me to ever pick against her after seeing her in a lot of those fights in the division below. So I think she can return to form, and I think she's hungry too. I think that was the question for a long time, was her motivation, and I think she can do it this weekend.
Yeah, no, definitely. I mean, we'll see if she can get it done. It's definitely going to be a tough test for her. But also kind of like, second chance in this flyweight division. I feel like if she doesn't win this one, I mean, pretty high stakes. But moving on though, I do have two bits of news I want to toss at you guys quickly to get your guys' reaction. UFC 300, Bo Nickel is officially on the main card. He bumps off Jiří Procházka and Alexander Rakic, or potentially Calvin Kattar and Aljamain Sterling. So I just wanted your guys' take on Bo Nickel being on the UFC 300 main card. Despite, I think, only having maybe two, three fights in the UFC and, not being a champion or anything like that, it seems like they believe in this kid a whole lot to be giving him that much shine.
Yeah, I mean, I'm gonna save the tangent for another day because I know there's gonna be a UFC 300 episode pretty soon. I'm pretty excited for, but putting Bo Nickel over Jiří Prochazka and Aljo, two former champs. I mean, even looking at further down the card, Figueiredo, Cody Garbrandt, even Holly Holm and Kayla Harris, the debut of Kayla Harrison. That's another great fight that I feel are proven fighters that. I just don't see how Cody Brundage and Bo Nickel get a main card slot on the UFC 300, but especially even looking at the odds, a -2,000 for Bo Nickel, and he's opening up the UFC 300 card. It just kind of surprises me, but I also understand what the UFC is doing in terms of their marketing promotion of Bo Nickel, trying to just build off of that superstar potential, because I think everybody is kind of curious on just how good he is, because we don't really know still. I feel like we all of his fights end within the first 30 seconds, so it's hard to really gauge just how good he is. We haven't seen him really be tested in any way, so I hope Cody Brundage is able to bring it to him and actually test him, but I don't want to see that on the main card of arguably one of the biggest cards of all time.
Yeah, Zach, when you talk UFC 300, I mean, you have to bring out the stars of stars. You have to bring out the best that you possibly can. However, the late Conor McGregor, he's not dead. Conor McGregor's final in this business is knockouts. The only thing that I'm really worried about is if he can't put on a really, really good fight. I think he. And I'm not concerned of the fact that he only has three or two fights in the UFC. I don't care because we have Alex Pereira who's running around destroying everyone. I think Bo
Yeah.
Nickel's a superstar in the making. And in combat sports, it's not about who you fight; it's how you beat them. So if he's able to go put on a show, I think a star is born, and a legit star, not just a guy with hype, but a guy who could really, really fight. And these are sometimes it's the chances that you take, right? So you look over, you overlook some good fighters for a guy that you think has it in him, and maybe he performs and maybe he doesn't. But with a guy like Bo Nickel, you have to put faith in a guy like that.
Yeah, I agree. And I think this main card is full of finishers. I mean, that's really what this card is built on, is you got Charles Oliveira, Armin Saryukin, Justin Gaethje, Max Holloway, Jamal Hill, Alex Pereira, Zhang Wei Li. These are all finishers of the highest degree in the UFC. And I mean, like I just mentioned, all of Bo Nickel's fights have ended in 30 seconds. So if he can go out there and produce a pretty crazy finish, a highlight reel finish, he's definitely going to blow up even more than he already is. And I see why the UFC puts him in this spot, because they're trying to really bank off that superstar potential. And I agree with it in some formats, but I also don't think that you can leave off Yair Prochazka and Aljamain Sterling, two former champs, literally just had the belt off of a main card. So it's a little bit tough for me, but I do agree. I do see your side of it, Mavi. Yeah.
Yeah, I see both sides of it. I just hope that it pays off for UFC. I mean, it's a very big move. But speaking of former champions, superstars in the making, stuff like that, we have a former champion and a superstar returning, Jose Aldo, returning from retirement in UFC 301. He's going to be fighting Jonathan Martinez. Now, we don't have a ton of time, so I don't know if I'm going to be able to ask around and get your guys' takes on it, but it's an interesting comeback. I think we're going to be talking about it more as we get closer to that fight. And for UFC 301, which a lot of people have been kind of calling out as like a big drop off for the UFC in terms of quality, I think adding Jose Aldo is, something that they definitely need to do. And it's a big get. It's really, really cool. One other thing I want to ask you guys very quickly. It's going to be like a yes or no. Last night, Roadhouse ended up coming out. You reminded me with Conor McGregor. Ridiculous movie. I ended up watching it. It was so bad. Do you guys plan on watching it? Yes or no?
Watch it for the laughs, man. That's about it.
The
Fair.
what I saw the A team, so now I have to watch Roadhouse.
Yeah, there you go. There you go. Oh my God. You guys gotta let me know when you see it. It's so bad. But anyway, that wraps up Pound for Pound. I've been Andrew Canary. Thank you, Zach Cordova. Thank you, Mahdi Dembele. Thank you, Joe Henry, for production. I've been, oh my God, I can't speak. Sorry. Make sure you watch the UFC event next weekend. Make sure you watch our Pound for Pound next week, also breaking down all the results. Again, I've been Andrew Canary, and Pound for Pound is a production of WFUV Sports.